Very happy to welcome in Trent Bally. He was a winner of the Earl Robinson Memorial Award for Outstanding Student Broadcaster at Michigan State. He's gone on now and as a writer and as a broadcaster, a terrific young talent in the business. He's been down in Tennessee, but he'll be back here plenty to watch the Detroit Lions. I'll bet you on that. And we had a long conversation last night, Trent, about Monty Williams and what that means for your Detroit Pistons. What do you make of that move?
I love it. And the only reason I say that is just because at some point the Pistons, I mean, they've been spinning their tires. They're in the second, third rendition of this rebuild. I think all the way back to the Josh Smith, Greg Monroe, Andre Drummond years. It's about time they take a big swing on someone other than Blake Griffin, you know. So I think this is a good way to spend your money. And it is a lot of money. I will give you that. I mean, Greg Popovich, I think, is only making 11.5. Eric Spoelstra, who's, as far as I'm concerned, as good as anyone ever at coaching the sport, is up to $8.5 million. So to get $12 million a year from Monty Williams, that's quite a bit. But what do we know about Monty Williams? He connects really well with his players. I don't think anybody outside of DeAndre Ayton would have a bad word to say about him. So I love it because you look at what the Pistons have. It's a bunch of youth, not a whole lot of veterans outside of Alec Burks and Bojan Bogdanovic. So you bring in a fresh voice. And again, we were talking all season, Jack. I don't think it's anything against Dwayne Casey. I think he knows ball. He was a little more accustomed to coaching veterans, whereas Monty Williams, I think, is going to be able to come in here, fit into this young culture with Cade Cunningham, Jaden Ivey, Jalen Duren, Beef Stew, all these guys. So I'm pretty excited.
So the number has got a lot of people itchy. When you're talking about $78.5 million over six seasons, but hey, it's not our money, it's Tom Gore's money, and he seems about as committed to winning. A lot of people demean Tom Gore's. I think the incident where he seemed inebriated at the game when he was interviewed, and I think that turned some people off. And
right.
Just hasn't had the image that I think an owner would hope for, but he has certainly invested whatever it's taken in this franchise. He put a boatload of money into the Palace of Auburn Hills and then said, okay, forget it. I spent that money and now we're moving downtown. And I think that opened some eyes. But what do you make of his commitment to winning?
That's a huge part of that I left out in the beginning, and I'm glad you asked me about this, Jack, because another thing that I thought of right away was you have to give props to Tom Gores because, like you said, it is his money, and to spend that much on a coach just goes to show he understands the importance of it. And I know people like to poo-poo what coaches do in the NBA, you know, as opposed to the college hoops or something like that. But when you have a young team like this, you do need a really good coach. You need someone who's going to get through to those guys. And as far as Tom Gores is concerned, I have a little bit of a theory, Jack. I think he probably saw what Sheila Ford Hamp has done with the Lions over the last couple of years, taking over and really getting through to the fan base and winning them over and saying, hey, we're committed to winning. I'm going to hit a home run on our coaching hire. I'm going to bring in a general manager who does things a little differently and isn't necessarily by the book all the time. I just think he might have seen that and saw what the fan response was. And granted, the NFL is always going to be king in this city. But I just think that given what the Detroit fan base is and what we know the Detroit fan base can be, and now, like you said, Jack, they are in downtown Detroit. The team's only made the playoffs once since opening LCA, and of course we know that was a sweep against Giannis and the Bucks. So I do think you have to give Tom Gores a lot of credit, as you mentioned, because I think he's just said enough is enough. I've owned this team since 2011, and it's about time we take a big swing and make some noise.
And how far do you think the Pistons are away from that big swing landing?
I would give them – see, the thing is going into last season – or this season, I guess, it's still going on. I thought the Pistons would be in the mix for the play-in. That was my expectation. So the 9-10 seed. When Cade Cunningham got hurt, that got ripped up and thrown out the window, and things were maneuvered from there. But So I would say going into this season, I'll just revert those same expectations. I think the Pistons should be in the mix for a 9-10 seed. If anything, if they're an 8 or 7, great, but you still got to go to the play-in, of course. I expect the Pistons to be in the play-in tournament. But in terms of that big swing landing, I mean, it depends what you call landing, because for me, that'd be winning a championship, right? Is that what you're getting at?
Well, yeah, maybe being in it. being at least
being in the mix, yeah,
in the conference final, at least
in the conference final. I'll give him 4 or 5 years. I think right by then, Cade Cunningham will be in the prime of his career. Monty Williams will be in the fourth year of his contract with the team. So I think that's attainable.
How many fans of the Pistons who have been waiting and waiting, and they were spoiled for a while. They had sustained success, not just from the Bad Boys era and going to work teams, but they were always in the hunt for a long time, and they rebuilt it. And now it's been a while, and they've seen teams come and go, and Cleveland, here's Denver, and Miami's done it and done it and done it now, that they're losing patience.
Yeah, I think it's easy to lose patience in these situations, and I don't blame any Pistons fan. You know, myself, I've even gotten really upset, and even things that are kind of out of your control, like Cade Cunningham getting hurt and shutting it down for the year, that kind of stuff just stinks, and it turns you off for the rest of the season. But I think a lot of the fan base is fed up. But like you said, Jack, I think if the Pistons are able to look around what is succeeding in the league right now, it's good coaching, it's a couple star players, and it's a good supporting cast that can shoot threes, and I think that's what their focus should be this offseason. But I understand if the fan base is upset, but I would tell them just hang on, because this Monty Williams hire, even if you're not a huge basketball fan, you should know who Monty Williams is, just given the last couple of years and what he's done with Phoenix. I think he's going to do big things.
So for what he did at Phoenix, I guess I have a hard time understanding this. I talked about this with someone who knows the NBA and Matt Ishbia a lot better than I do. A guy's been a two-time coach of the year, has done what Monty Williams did, getting the team into the finals, and didn't stick around very long. Is that a personality thing? Is that Matt Ishbia coming in? And, of course, he's known making things the way he wants them. It just wasn't a fit. Is there something else at play here? Is there something about Monty Williams that should be concerning?
I do think if there's one red flag, it's that the last 2 years in elimination games, his team has gotten absolutely mollywopped. So that's a little bit of a concern. And I think maybe Matt Ishbia, we know he's an OBS guy, and he came in and put his stamp on the organization right away by saying, hey, we're going to go get Kevin Durant. So that was the first move, first domino to fall, per se. And we know Kevin Durant, when he was in Brooklyn, I remember him and Kyrie Irving saying, we don't even need a coach. I'm paraphrasing, of course. But they're saying, we don't even need a coach. We're just going to bring in Steve Nash because he's going to, you know, he gets us. He's going to let us do our thing. So there could be some of that at play as well. I don't know if when you make a big move like you did to go get Kevin Durant, that becomes your franchise centerpiece now. And maybe they're listening to him. I don't know that for a fact. Like you said, I'm not as plugged in to the Matt Ishbia sources and whatnot. But that's the way I see it.
What kind of basketball should Pistons fans expect in the Monty Williams era?
Playing the right way. I think of Jay Wright at Villanova. I think of Tom Izzo at Michigan State. I think of even Matt Painter at Purdue in the regular season. I think of Eric Spoelstra with the Heat. Of course, that's an extreme example as they're in the finals as an 8 seed. But I just think Monty Williams, he's a no-nonsense guy. He's going to come in here and just expect that guys play hard every single night. If you're dogging it on defense, you're getting taken out. And this team's just going to play hard. And that's all you can expect with a team of young players. And I know that word young has been used for the Pistons the last 3 years. So, to go back to where the fan base is frustrated, I understand it. But to answer your question, Jack, I think Monty Williams is going to come in here and instantly make this team, I think, at least 10 wins better next season.
One of the things with Phoenix, I think a lot of people were so down on the way the team performed in Game 6 at home against the Denver Nuggets. And it was a little bit like the turd in the punch bowl that we got from Boston in Game 7 against Miami. But the fact that Denver now looks like a team that's going to be very, very difficult to beat, and I don't think many people understood how good the Nuggets were, maybe that takes some of the sting off this, and you realize, hey, there's a good chance, according to most experts, that when the playoffs are over, the only team that will have beaten Denver more than once was Phoenix.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. We'll have to see how the chips fall with Miami because, as you put it, Denver has run through everybody. And like you said, I think they were slept on all season, and it's kind of a weird thing with Nikola Jokic not winning MVP because they didn't want to give it to him 3 years in a row, and there's all these politics going on and blah, blah, blah. But They finally have Jamal Murray back healthy. Nikola Jokic is still playing. I think statistically he was better this season than he was last year in his MVP year. So give Mike Malone and the Nuggets credit, because I do think they're the best team. They were the best team all year, like you said. Maybe just a little disrespected. And if Monty Williams wasn't able to get it done against that team, I don't think that should reflect too poorly on him.
So for the Pistons to make a quantum leap next year and get, let's say, over 30 wins, okay?
Yeah.
That would be a step along the path. No one's expecting them to be in the playoffs. I don't think many people are expecting them to be close to 500, but let's say to get to 30, 35 wins. What has to happen besides Cade Cunningham staying healthy?
I think you've got to draft a wing. That's number one. I think you really missed an opportunity last year, and that was kind of my head-scratcher for Troy Weaver. My first head-scratcher, that is, with one of his decisions, was picking Jaden Ivey, a guy who's ball-dominant, not a great shooter, needs the ball to do much in the offense, because I think you have Cade Cunningham, and the ball should be in his hands as much as possible. So I would look at this draft, and we can talk about this as it gets closer, of course, but I think you have to pick a true wing who shoots the ball well. And I'm talking about maybe a Jordan Hawkins from UConn. And I understand the Pistons are picking at five, and that might be a little bit of a reach, or Grady Dick from Kansas, one of those guys. But I just think you need shooting. That's what you need, because Cade Cunningham's going to penetrate. You can kick out. And the other thing, a second point here, Jack, is I think the Pistons, they've got money to spend, even despite the Monty Williams contract. They've got money to spend in free agency. They have the cap to go out and make a move. And I think that when veterans like Alec Burks and Bojan Bogdanovic, there were rumblings of a trade at the trade deadline. I think the reason that didn't happen was because there were promises made by Troy Weaver that this team is going to really try to compete next year and go get some good shooters and take a little bit of the load off those guys. So to answer your question, I think they've got to get better on the wing, get better shooting, and then I really think the rest will just kind of fall together.
So would you think the Pistons would consider moving the pick number five for an established player who fills the needs that you just outlined?
Yes, I do. And the reason I say that is I think this was essential. And there's no disrespect to the guys outside of the top three, but I think this is a three-player draft, essentially, with Victor Wembanyama, Scoot Henderson, and Brandon Miller. I think those are the top three guys. And once those guys are all gone, I think you're just drafting based on need, which is kind of a different thing for the NBA. Usually you just pick the best player available. But I do think the Pistons would be wide open to maybe even trading back from five to, you know, outside the top 10 or something like that and getting a couple assets. Or, as you mentioned, giving up five for a three-point shooter. I don't know, like maybe Jordan Poole. I don't have the numbers in front of me. I mean, we talked about it a couple weeks ago, Jack. Would we take Jordan Poole or I forget what the comparison was. We were talking about him and his contract and all that. So I'm not sure about, you know, him specifically, but just a player who might need a change of scenery, who's an established three-point shooter, who would be...
What about Jaylen Brown? That's a name that's been out there.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. He's eligible for the Supermax because of his All-NBA team honors. So it gets tricky. But, yes, I do think the Pistons are ready to make a swing. I think they're poised to do something that we might not see coming, because that's kind of been Troy Weaver's MO so far.
Yeah. Interesting stuff, and we have the Detroit Tigers now. One-third of the way through the season, 54 games in, Trent, 26-28, and how many people would have believed that?
I think, you know, say we're one-third through the season, I think one-third of the fan base would have believed you that they'd be at this spot. I think a lot of people were pessimistic about the team, given how poorly they performed last year with some expectations. I'm not going to act like people thought they'd be in the pennant race or anything, but I think people expected this type of performance last season. And when that didn't happen, they were a little, you know, jaded, I guess. But I'm pleasantly surprised, I guess. I thought they'd be around 500, but given all these injuries, it could get ugly here. They're going to have to keep it together and bear down.
And what would be a successful or satisfying season now, given this almost 500 start? They've been flirting with it so many times.
Right.
But what would you think now in the final 108 games? What does Detroit need to do?
It's hard to put a number on the win total, and the only reason I say that is because you play in the AL Central, which is one of the worst divisions in baseball, if not the worst, because everything's so tight and everyone's flirting with 500, as you mentioned. Not everyone, but there's, you know, three, four teams there. So I think to define the successful season, I guess I would just want to be in the mix, call it three or fewer games back with 15 to play. And if that's the case, then, you know, you never know what could happen. But that would be a successful season to me if this team is able to get is able to either win the Central or get second. And I'm not sure if that would be good enough for a wild card, given how bad this division looks so far. But that would be a successful season to me because it would mean you took a step from last year.
All right. Sounds great. Trent, we're going to be having you on more often here in the upcoming weeks, and not just because Stephen Brooks is getting married and taking some time off, but we look forward to talking to you every Wednesday.
Yeah, I can't wait, Jack. I'm fired up for that. We're going to have a lot of Detroit sports to talk about, a lot of Michigan State stuff, some national stuff. It's going to be fantastic, so I look forward to that as well. Thank you.
Trent, have a great week.
You too. Thanks a lot. Rob, take care.
Trent Bally, and you're going to get to know him a little bit better if you don't know him already. And in the years to come, you're really going to get to know him well.